All right, Oggs, start us. Get us off. Oh, that's it.
But remember, size doesn't matter.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to League Pass and Chill. My name is Olga Nulich, and I'm one of the four hosts here today. I'm joined by Gunnar Natalovic.
Stan, you just messed up the pronunciation, but that's all right.
Gunnar Natalovic.
That's better. Thank you very much.
Ted Smith.
Nailed that one.
Thank you. Well done. Harrison Pullinger.
Yeah, two from three.
One of the hosts, but the host.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, you said I'm in a room with four hosts. That was really nice of you.
Yeah, no, because I have to.
The host, four now.
My partner.
Four now.
It's a coup.
There you go.
Oh.
Man's coming. Coming for that title.
Oh, God.
Segway King.
Okay. Welcome to our NBA podcast, everybody. Before we talk about that, I have a story which I wanted to tell. Usually what happens when we come in here is that someone, usually Harrison, brings snacks. It's usually like cookies from the Woolies cookies.
Coles
cookies. Yeah. They're great cookies. This episode is brought to you by Coles. So he brings them in. We share them. It's really terrific. Sometimes Ted brings snakes in. It's a good old time that we have here. So today I was at the shops and I was like, I'm going to bring some snacks in for everybody. And so I went to a Mrs. Fields, which is a really nice cookie shop, the one that smells really nice all the time. And I thought, I'm going to get like 10 mini chocolate chip cookies and 10 mini brandy snaps.
Where are they?
So there's a problem. I went home, prepped for the pod, left my house, and I didn't bring them.
When you say prep for the pod, you mean like I had a nap? And
got in car?
No, I went on my computer and I wrote a Word document that we have in front of us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather cookies. Thank you, though, for the preparation. You know, you heard of the term dangling carrots? That's what you're doing with us when you're talking about cookies that we almost had.
Mm. I'm sorry.
Dangling carrots.
I'm just saying I regret
the thoughts there.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, like, I my intentions were so true, and now we're cookie-less.
Good thing you postponed the NBA podcast to tell us that story.
I feel like it's important.
Sure.
It's a representation of my character. Let's go through some of the news of the week. Don't look at me like that, Harrison.
Saved.
Bulls VP John Paxson says Jim Boylan's job is safe. He told NBC Chicago, there's no quick fix to this. We're not thinking of making any changes. Jim is a grinder. Mexico is getting a G League team. They're called the Capitans. The Miami Heat suspended Dion Waiters for, I quote, failure to adhere to team policies, violation of team rules, and continued insubordination. He posted a photo of himself on a boat during the time where he said he was sick.
Maybe he was seasick.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Dion Waiters this was his third suspension of the season. He has not played a game for the Heat, who are playing really well and who don't really need him because that wing two guard spot is kind of full for them anyway.
Are they just waving the trade flag? Do they want him out?
But who wants him? That's good.
Cheap, someone.
Yeah. Former NBA Commissioner David Stern collapsed in a New York restaurant. He suffered a brain hemorrhage and underwent emergency surgery. So obviously we hope everything goes okay with him. And finally, Carmelo Anthony wants the Denver Nuggets to retire his number.
Same.
Harrison, do we think they should? Do we think someone should?
I don't know who will. Like, I don't think he achieved enough anywhere. He's an amazing player. He scored an amazing click. He put bums on seats, but
not amazing enough.
Did he really do enough for no one to ever wear his number again? I don't think so.
So who are the Denver and New York? They're like the only teams that are really in the conversation.
Too much toxicity about his surrounding his stay in New York. I think even when he re-signed there, he was always threatening to leave. It never felt like home. Where I feel Denver felt like home for Camilla. There was a lot of people upset when he left.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for LeBron James coming through the same draft, everyone would have been referring to him as a phenom in his rookie year. He was unbelievable. If he is going to have a jersey retired somewhere, I'd assume it's Denver. Took him to a Western Conference Finals, but outside of that.
Like during his time with Denver, he was the greatest scorer in the world.
I'd throw it up.
I just feel like
it's not like the Celtics where it's like, geez, we're running out of jersey numbers.
Yeah.
It's like, it's Denver. So yeah, throw one up there.
What do you think, Gertie?
I think there's a middle ground. Well, not even a middle ground. There's just another option that you guys aren't.
Just let Carmelo hang off the roof.
No jersey retirement in New York. No jersey retirement in Denver.
Yeah.
You hang his hoodie up in all 24/7 fitnesses. The hoodie mellow gets gets...
No one can ever wear a hoodie in a gym again.
Yeah. Except
huge.
Just in all LA fitnesses or wherever they play those LA off-season games.
Yeah.
Where he looks like the greatest player in the world.
We'd have to run that by Mello. I'm not sure if he'd like that as much as having his jersey hung up, but...
I don't know if you'll have a choice.
It's a good compromise.
Yeah.
Can I also ask the Mexico City G League team, is that affiliated with an NBA team?
Not yet. Or okay. Like not currently.
Okay.
The Capitans.
Okay, cool.
The Mexico City Capitans.
I guess that's fine for a name. Right? Everyone think of that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to broach the subject.
Yeah.
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 Okay. It's like whatever.
They're the captains.
It's your team.
They're the captains, but Mexican.
Lots of leaders on that team.
The Spanish captains.
What's cool. This? They are captains, not the captains. Otherwise, they'd be El Capitano.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start this pod. We have started the pod. We're going to continue the pod. By talking about the
weird... Told you I was coming for that host job.
I'm doing great. The top of the NBA, basically, which is... A lot of people pointed to the Bucks and then kind of the Lakers and Clippers and then the rest. I think that's what a lot of people pointed to. And I don't know if it's necessarily that way, so I kind of wanted to just discuss it just in totality with everyone. So just to throw it out there immediately, do we think that if we're thinking about tiers at this point of the season, and I know that we all work with tiers so often, is it the Bucks in a tier of their own up top? Is that like...
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
So who is, if you're going to say like these teams are like, there's a 90% chance that one of these, however many teams wins a title this year?
I think... In my head, I've still got it as those four. So Philly, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers. Just because my main problem with the Bucks is still that they only have one superstar. Yes, he's the best player in the world. And yes, Chris Middleton gets paid like a max player, but I still don't believe he is that. And yes, their roster is very good. And yes, they've just gone on a regular season win streak of how many games was it?
I think it was 16.
No, 18.
18.
And then a snap today.
Yeah, against the Mavs. But I still think in terms, if we're talking about teams as ceilings, I think theirs is similar to a team that gets the best out of LeBron and AD and a team that gets the best out of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and a team that gets the best out of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
I have to agree. You look at the Clippers and the 76ers and their records might not say that they're up in that same tier, but you watch a game and you're just like, where are their holes? Like the Clippers are as perfect of a team as you can put together under the salary cap. It's incredible. And then you look at the 76ers when they have their starting five on the court. Is there a better starting five?
Yeah, we forget about that too. Like Josh Richardson hasn't played a lot of games. Al Horford's rested a lot. Joel Embiid had an injury and rested. Ben Simmons had an injury. We haven't seen that team like in full flight yet.
No.
To flip it from the other side, yeah, those starting fives are better than the Bucks. Most of the teams in that top tier that you guys are talking about would have better starting fives. But Giannis is so good, though. He's so good. His career averages are up in points, three-point percentage, and rebounds. He's scoring 11.5 more points than his career average this year.
But seeing what he's doing this year, sure, it almost looks like he's taken another leap. But we saw what Kawhi Leonard did to him in a playoff series last year.
And
I don't know if I'm ready to say the Bucks, only behind Giannis, are in a tier away from Kawhi Leonard.
Michael Jordan doesn't turn into Michael Jordan without getting beat by the Detroit Pistons in 89-90, right? You got to go through that hardship. And I like how fast Giannis has learned. He's up in rebounds 4.3 over this season over his career. He's shooting at almost 33% from three.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
Like he is so good. I know Harden's putting up better numbers in terms of points per game, but this dude's 31 points and what was it, 12 or 13 rebounds?
Yeah,
like it's like Shaq who can sprint. Like, he's just so dominant that I think by the end of this year it might be like, okay, you can stop the other guys, but can you stop him?
I think we're already at that point.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time where teams that were healthy, if every team was healthy, that a team with only one superstar won a title. I know the Raptors did it last year, but the Warriors were broken and dead. So it was like,
yeah, and
who
I
was
think
the last team with just one?
Probably Dirk.
Yeah, I was just
Dirk.
Yeah, I think that would be the last one. He was old.
He was old. Yeah, to your point, Ted, I think the Bucks were without Chris Middleton for a good amount of time. They've been like in and out with Eric Bledsoe. He's out now again. So I feel like Giannis has had to like shoulder a load that he wouldn't otherwise have to. And he's having to do that again because Bled's out. So I just think, I think he's taken a leap, no question. And I still feel like, and we spoke about this last season, do we feel like no one's paying enough attention to them again?
Yeah.
Even though they were...
It's the town they're in.
It totally is. And it's also the fact, I think, that their superstar is not American.
Yeah.
That's a thing,
and it's
too
hard to say his last name. Like, all these things weigh in. Oh, that sounds fact, like I'm joking.
The fact that there are NBA analysts who still can't say his last name is a problem.
Mm.
One of the best players in the world.
One thing, that 32.8 from threes from five shots per game this year as well.
He's shooting a lot of threes. Do you have his free throw percentage, or am I asking for too much?
It's his worst of his career.
He's just...
That's the one anomaly. His free throws this year is worst of his career, his free throw percentage, by a long way.
So, you know, we've got those four teams up there. You know, there are those teams sort of hanging off, right? So you've got the Rockets. I think you've got the Nuggets hanging off that. I think the Raptors are interesting if they can keep putting, you know, what they have together and if they stay healthy. The Celtics, a lot of people will point to as well. I don't necessarily. I think they're like a move or two away. But are any of those teams either a move away or just like a flick of the switch away from kind of getting up in there too?
A flick of the switch. I like that you said that.
That's a thing.
Saying like they're a move away is weird because like the Rockets don't really have another move to make, but I still just don't think they're good enough.
Yep.
The Nuggets we discussed last week, the move is getting Nikola Jokic on a diet. Yep. Also, I realized listening to our podcast last week, the irony in the fact that he plays on the Nuggets. And
he looks like he
eats too many nuggets.
Way
too many
nuggets.
That's the one. I think if there was a team that was going to be a move away, it's the Miami Heat in my mind. I think that's a team where they add one more dude and they've got like one more 1A superstar. I don't think Jimmy can be the best player on your team. But if they were to add a monster free agency signing, I think they're one of those rosters that could just take a leap because they're already playing brilliantly together.
So like on that, and then I'll throw it to you, Harrison. Bam Adebayo is an all-star this season.
Absolutely.
So like I think Bam Adebayo is better than Chris Middleton, for example. I think that's like not an outrageous thing to say.
I agree.
Because he's putting up just absurd numbers and you can obviously see it on both ends too. So given the way Bam is playing, obviously Jimmy Butler, like his two-way impact is we know about. Are the Miami Heat legit or do you think this is still just like a massive honeymoon period that they're going through?
I think they are as legit as anyone in this chase pack. I really do. And you look at the role players that they have, you can add a really good big man. You can add an isolation player. You can add a high post player. It doesn't really matter. The role players that they have, Nunn, Hero, Robinson, Olynyk, you're talking about guys that stretch the floor. And in the 2019 NBA, good thing to have. So I think... whatever that move is, and I don't know if there is a 1A superstar out there for them, but even if there's a 1B superstar, even if there's someone that can just complement Jimmy Butler on both ends of the floor, I think this is a pretty legit team.
We were speaking about this, I think, last week. You don't like Myers Leonard?
I don't know. I think there's an answer. And, well, my answer in that conversation was, is there a way we can get Marc Gasol instead of Myers Leonard? He's a big who stretches the floor. Mm. He won't be in Bam's way. And you got two really, really great passing bigs in Adebayo and Marc Gasol, which we haven't seen since the Grit and Grind Grizzlies.
Two really good defensive bigs too.
Really good on the defensive end, really great passes, surrounded by Jimmy Butler, who is playing, I think, better than we've ever seen him before. And then Tyler Hero, who is epic. Kendrick Nunn has been unbelievable. And then Duncan Robinson is hitting everything. So like, I don't even think it's a 1A move, but there is something missing.
Yeah, they're the team that most reminds us, not necessarily like stylistically, but the way they're put together, like the Mavs back in the day, just like... I don't know. Everyone knows his role. They have Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler can be a 1A superstar just because of his impact on the defensive end. I think they're the closest we have to that. And then obviously I think Eric Spoelstra is a coach of the year at this point, and I don't know if it's close unless you want to count Bud and Frank Vogel, obviously, too. But just
Vogel, that's the other one.
But like Eric Spoelstra, what he's done with this Heat team is crazy. I want to mention the Pacers. Is anyone buying into it? Just like Malcolm Brogdon looking like a legitimate starter? Sabonis having also like an all-star type of year and Oladipo still to come.
It just kind of reminds me of what they did last year where they hung around in the competitive all season. But It's a good story for this time of the year, and we can see what Oladipo isn't back yet, right?
No.
Yeah, so it's wait and see with them for me. But, yeah, like I said, similar to last year, though, they grounded out, finished, what, fourth or fifth?
Yep.
I can see a similar thing happening this year.
If Oladipo is what he was before the injury, which is such a big if.
It's been a minute.
Then this team could be for real, because the numbers he was putting up on both ends of the floor were incredible.
Yep.
And then you partner him with Brogdon. I can't think of a better backcourt than that that's healthy.
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
It would only be Steph and Clay, and they're not healthy at the moment.
Russ and James Harden?
Yeah, it's a fair shout.
Not necessarily the fit, though, but
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Wouldn't be everyone's favourite.
True. So out of that group, right, we've mentioned a lot of teams there. You can throw in the Mavs, I guess, and you can throw in the Jazz, maybe. Out of that crew, you know, who's the dark horse? Who's the one that...
I've got one.
Who is it?
It's funny because we've been rubbish in them most this season. But out of these top teams, Clippers, Lakers, Bucks, Celtics, the two teams that I think have the most room for improvement, room for growth, are Philly and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
In terms of they're nowhere near their ceiling and they're still being competitive. The fact that the Nuggets suck and are in the fourth spot in the West, it's a testament. When I've prepared something here. I'm just going to read it out.
Say it, read it.
Okay. Okay, here we go. So Jokic, his three-point percentage is worst of his career. He shot 39% in 17-18, 30.7% last year. He's down to 26.2%, which means Giannis Antetokounmpo is shooting 5.5% better than Jokic from three this year. His field goal percentage is the worst of his career. It's his sixth season. Career low in free throws. Everything is broken about his game, but when you ask, do you think he can improve, most basketball fans would say yes. By the end of the year, it wouldn't be a shock if he could return back to his best basketball. And if that's the case, you know, then they're the team that I could see upsetting the apple cart at the top of the tables. They could do stuff down the year. But as we said last week, it all comes down to Jokic. But those numbers suggest that the improvement should be easy because he sucks hard at the moment.
Well, and the thing is, because the Nuggets are so good defensively right now, I think he's given some leeway to make those improvements again, or at least to get back to normal. Whereas I think other years he might not be able to. And I think if he steps up his game to the way where we know how he knows how to play, and then if Jamal Murray steps up as well, because he hasn't been as aggressive as I think he should be.
His stats are almost like they're eerily identical to last year. They're almost exactly the same across the board.
Yeah, and after his postseason, we figured he'd take a step up. He hasn't yet, but the way they're playing defensively leads one to believe that there's at least like an identity there.
Yeah.
My issue with the Nuggets at the moment, and I agree with you, Ted, I think they're a dark horse, is that the best part of their game and when they looked the best was in the playoffs last year with a Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic pick and roll. Because it's either giving Jamal Murray enough space to get a wide open shot, or it's a pass to Jokic who either finds open teammates on the perimeter or does something himself. In the playoffs last year, they were going to the pick and roll over 27% of their offensive possessions. This year, 18% is pick and roll.
Dang.
So that just doesn't make sense to me.
So what is most of their offense? Is a lot of it, and I get it, a lot of it's just throwing it into like the high post with Jokic and running guys around that.
It's a bit of post up and it's a bit of isolation. The other one was they don't even use off-ball screens to set up open shooters. Less than 5 shots a game, they get off just a simple screen away. These are things which are such an easy fix. I don't know if Mike Malone is this savvy, but if he is playing a certain style, leaning on the defense, not pushing the ball, they're the slowest team in the league right now, to then flick the switch towards the playoffs and showcase what we all know they have, they could be one of the best teams in the West through the playoffs.
They're deep too.
They're really deep.
Yeah.
They're really deep. If they can, they're a wing away, they still need a wing, whether that's Michael Porter grows up, or whether they try and pick up a defensive wing off the trade market, I don't know. But they're a wing away from being a really, really elite team.
Well, even today. So today we're recording this on a Wednesday. It's Wednesday today?
Tuesday.
My God.
Close, mate.
We do it every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Holy shit. Yeah.
That should have been a tell.
They played Michael Porter Jr. down the stretch.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. Mm. That's like, again, they can afford to do that.
Yeah.
And if he turns into, again, half of what his potential dictates, shit.
He's still a long-term investment at this stage.
Oh, no question.
You just got to put some minutes in.
Wait, did they play today?
They played the Knicks today. No, yesterday.
Man,
it happens. Yeah, it just shows how busy you are, man.
You know, I had the last 2 days off.
You got no excuse.
Well, forget
I
said that.
He just helped you then.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but I thought I'd be honest. I had the last 2 days off, but you know, I'm here anyway. I was gonna bring cookies, so like that's where I am.
Wow.
Can I throw one more? Which yeah. I know we've Olgan and I have been high on them since before the start of the season, but it's Utah.
You see, I mentioned Utah, but I'm still not. They don't excite me anymore.
Okay. In the last 3 years, after the postseason, you know how everyone talks, oh, they're the sleeping giant. In the last three years, their record is 52-22. All right, so we can expect that maybe down the stretch this team starts looking like we know they can. But I think the switch for them is Donovan Mitchell shooting more threes.
Yeah. He's not good at it, but...
But he's shooting... he's shooting less than Ben McLemore, Kyle Lowry, Eric Gordon... Fred Van Fleet, Jay Crowder. You're talking about guys that shouldn't even have the ball in their hands.
Don't you say that about Fred Van Fleet, you bastard. You know I like him.
Ben McLemore plays for Mike D'Antoni. That's not Fred. I shoot more threes than...
I feel like there is a switch that Utah can hit going into the back end of the season. They're already such a good defensive team. I think coming down the backstretch after the All-Star break, leading into playoffs... hopefully Mike Conley's got his game back.
Yeah, where the hell did
that'll
he
be
go?
Good.
I was wrong too. He's shooting at 36%, which is handy. That's from three.
Yeah, it's fine.
And he's averaging 25 points a game, which I assume would be his career high, if not
close
to it.
Yeah, 23.8 last year.
Yeah. And part of the thing which makes me think Utah will be fine is Utah lead the league in drives per game. Hmm. They get into the paint more than anyone. It's just their... You know, and I use quotation marks. Their 1A superstar is 6'1".
Do you know what? They've been putting the ball in Joe Ingles' hands lately.
Olgan's defensive savant.
He's great.
Defensive player of the year, Joe Ingles.
They've been putting the ball in his hands a lot more lately. They've been playing better lately. I feel like that's a good thing as well, playing Donovan Mitchell off the ball a little bit more, playing Mike Conley. Like not playing Mike Conley, basically. but like they've been better with that, and I feel like they're going to keep going to that.
You were talking about a team with postseason pedigree as a reason why they might grow into being a contender. And even though, like, I'm not even sure if I agree with this, but it's kind of something I've been thinking about, that maybe the Raptors could surprise a few of these contenders in the East, just because I can totally see there being a narrative where those same players that kind of stood up in the postseason last year just find that hot streak during the postseason, and suddenly it's like, oh, we've been here before, we've done this. Pascal Siakam takes the step like that he has in the regular season and he does in the postseason. That's a team of dudes who now know how to win an NBA title. And
that's true. There's a valuable swagger which comes with the title too, isn't
100%. There? 100%. And the crowd's going to be locked in.
I have a question. The Raptors team currently, does that team beat all of the LeBron James, not all of, but a lot of the LeBron James teams that beat those DeMar DeRozan Raptors teams back in the day?
Mm.
I feel like that's a legitimate question.
They wouldn't be whipping boys like they were. They wouldn't just roll over like that Raptors did. Raptors team did.
Well, that's the thing. The Raptors were decent, right? And I remember there was the one series where they were like a few bounces of the ball away from taking a lead, I think, either at home or away, something like that. And so imagine you've got Pascal Siakam instead of DeMar DeRozan, plus a team of, I guess, veterans now because they've won a championship, plus Fred Van Vliet, Kyle Lowry, we all see as a completely different player now that he has a championship. Like, that's interesting.
That series was the one that Bismack Biyombo got paid after, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He blocked LeBron twice and then Orlando gave him $80 million.
$40 million a block, that's all right, bro.
Think about Matthew Dellavedova. He had like 1.5 good games in the finals and then the Bucks paid him everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
That's Joe Burrow's favorite player. Yeah. LSU quarterback about to go number one in the drafts. Favorite NBA player is Matthew Dellavedova.
That's a fun fact.
I shit you not.
He won the Heisman, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He likes... Yeah.
Look at you.
Don't, as though I don't know about the NFL and Lamar Jackson, et cetera.
Guys, for context, Olgan does not know about the NFL and Lamar Jackson.
I know bits and pieces about the NFL. How about that Michael Vick?
Oh.
Ooh.
Nah.
Let's move on.
Does he know why he shouldn't be saying that?
No, nah, I know why he... Okay. I get... But yeah.
Yeah.
He was the dog guy, yeah?
All right.
Yeah.
Some refer to him as like one of the all-time... best athletes to play the NFL, but also the dog guy, yes.
Yeah. No one mentioned the Celtics, and that's funny.
Oh, yeah, I had something written down, the Celtics. Okay, it was Celtics. Just more Tatum hate. He doesn't do it for me. And Kemba Walker's smile was starting to piss me off.
You wrote that down?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No one's that happy, Mogwai.
He's on a Supermax contract, man. I reckon he's like pretty happy.
5'10", gets to live in Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in Charlotte for how many years?
That's true. I should have factored that in. It's the I'm out of Charlotte grin.
All right, now, so we've just passed the December 15th deadline. So that's the deadline where most of the players who signed this summer are eligible to be traded. So in celebration of this deadline, we will talk about the players who we think need a change of scenery for whatever reason. So I'll just throw it out there because I'm not going to go in-depth on these ones. I want Dante Exum to be somewhere else. I don't know where he goes or who would want him. I just feel like he deserves to be somewhere else instead of having the extremely tiny leash that Quinn Snyder has him on. And obviously I just want Kevin Love somewhere because I think he could be a really nice piece on a contender. That's who I have. Harrison, who is out there who you think needs a change of scenery?
So Aaron Gordon, I've mentioned a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I floated my desire to get Aaron Gordon into a position where he can be a bit more of a ball dominant player to Guardy this morning. And Guardy, through the perfect situation, probably a terrible city for Aaron Gordon, but a perfect situation, is Aaron Gordon to Cleveland.
Ew.
Hold on.
No, I get it, but ew.
Colin Sexton and Darius Garland are essentially two guards.
They are definitely they play two guards. Some even like them. Okay.
They're like explicitly two guards.
They're like neither of them are a point guard. So I'm seeing Aaron Gordon being the, like last year's Justice Winslow, being the ball dominant point forward in Cleveland, allowing Colin Sexton, Darius Garland to play their natural fit as two guards. He can then shoot guards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as in shooting guards.
Ted and I thought you meant like two, like
a pair of guards.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Good Lord.
Yeah. If you look at their positions on Basketball Reference, he would say that they are two guards.
Good Lord. They can both play off guard. There we go. Shooting guard.
Yeah, they're both two guards. I got you.
In the two spot.
There we go. It doesn't ruin you defensively because Aaron Gordon can still mark the best wing. And I think Garland Sexton will play way better scoring. And then Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson might be happier because they got someone who already averages more than 2.8 assists.
Oh, I don't mind that fit.
It's not a bad fit.
No, I think it's a good fit.
Is this a chance you're throwing him down a black hole?
Yeah. I feel sorry that I'm sending him to Cleveland, but I think it would be really good for his game.
Do you think, real quick, tangent, do you think that's what a lot of GMs think? That like when they're trading with the Cavs, they really don't want to be dicks and send people to Cleveland?
In the NFL, there are coaches that will send a player that pisses them off to, like, historically, the Bills are good this year, but the Bills or...
Just because the city is just not great.
Yeah, the Browns.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Also Cleveland. I'm aware of NFL.
Didn't what about Pop? Like when he, because apparently Kawhi wanted to go out to LA and the place most opposite to LA geographically and in terms of weather and climate is Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Was Pop like, oh, you want to go to LA? Guess what?
Go to Canada.
The other side too.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then Kawhi won a title.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Last laugh.
So do you have a trade in mind? Who would you give up?
I mean, look, you go through the Cleveland team and it's really bad. So I've got the Jordan Clarkson expiring contract, Kevin Porter, and two first-round picks.
Man, two first-rounders for Aaron Gordon.
I mean, what are you going to pick up that's better than a young Aaron Gordon who can play the point? I don't think you're going to find too many big guys who can play the wing, who can run the offense.
And he just signed his extension, didn't he?
Yeah, which goes down in price. So they've got him for the next 4 years. The last year is $16 million or something.
And you put him in the spot.
It's one of team-friendly, incredible contracts in the NBA that you can get for two first-round picks. That's amazing.
And you put him in a position where you can lift your other young guys that you want to play better?
Exactly.
I mean, that works.
I don't know if you need to give up two first-round picks.
Two first-round picks is
a lot.
It's an indictment on Orlando, but it's a bigger market too.
Shit.
Jeez. Yeah, it is. But like Jordan Clarkson is nothing and Kevin Porter could be nothing. So I think you need to add something to get A, that contract, but B, that player.
I think a first rounder probably gets it done.
Just one first rounder.
Jeez.
These organizations
it's a solid
love
first rounder.
What could yeah. be. They don't like it. They don't like to deal in what is. They like to deal in what could be.
I don't know, man. Those last two blockbuster trades have been, here are all our picks for the next 10 years.
But like Anthony Davis is.
Cleveland can't rely on Aaron Gordon to get them out of their mess. They need to rely on a Zion-esque recovery mission like the Pels did.
Yeah.
That's fair.
They, I mean, if that trade happened today, you'd assume that they could push for an 8th spot in the East, but Gordon with Love, with Thompson, those two
Not
guards.
Not when you look at their record.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the East. How far behind could they be the 8th spot?
I think they're like 6-21 right now.
Jesus. Yeah, which means they're 6 games out. Boom.
Nah.
Gardy, who is someone that you want to see somewhere else?
Just a guy that we like think about every like month or so when he gets brought up in headlines and we're like, oh yeah, he's not playing basketball. Andre Iguodala, just like so that we can figure out where he's going to end up.
You should have played a guessing game with that one.
Yeah. 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 I wouldn't have. I had no idea.
It's just one of those dudes that like pops up, and you're like, "Oh yeah, shit, he's in Memphis." What?
And also very good.
Yeah, very good, and definitely going to be a key piece in whoever is contending for a title. We just don't really know who yet. So I just kind of want to see him traded, so I know who he's going to be playing for come like playoff time. Yeah. I don't know if it will happen soon, but that's
you could just throw him on the bench for any team that's trying to contend. He'll fit anywhere, right?
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
That is the same logic for someone who I have on my list, and that is Davis Bertans, who is right now the best, like maybe the hottest 3-point shooter in the NBA currently. He's on an expiring deal. He's like 6'10", stretches the floor like crazy, like a pure shooter, and I feel like he helps a lot of teams. A team I want to see him at are the Sixers, just because they need they need shooting, they need that like JJ Redick type of player, and I feel like
what. Oh, my player that I want traded is JJ Redick to the Sixers.
I'm just giving him just a bigger, younger JJ Redick.
Yeah.
And I reckon, like, I feel like that's a move that they're going to try and make, not necessarily for him, but a player like him, because they do need just a proper shooter. Because right now, their best shooter is outside of like the main guys like Tobias Harris, it's maybe Scott. Like Mike Scott.
Who's been
James
hot.
James Ennis.
Scott's been hot in this last little win streak they've had, but he started 1-16 from three. So the definition of a streaky shooter. Right. That's why I was talking to Harrison about this potential trade upstairs. JJ Redick seems like someone that probably will be moved on because what's he doing in New Orleans on a team that isn't going to do anything?
No clue.
Right.
Well, he was supposed to be like the veteran for all the young guys.
For a team that might try and push for the playoffs, but that isn't happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's a novelty to us, but it probably does matter to JJ Redick, someone that doesn't have a ring, someone that isn't going to go to the Hall of Fame. The fact that he's made the playoffs every single season of his career, he might want to try and keep that alive as well. And we know he can work at Philly, coming off the bench to get some threes for the second unit could be huge down the stretch. I'd like to see him back there. I think he could help because at the moment they're relying on guys to sink the threes that can't do it as well as they're doing it at the moment going forward, like Scott. Tobias Harris could get a little bit more consistent, but
it's more just those bench pieces. So you got like Matisse Thybulle, you've got Furkan Korkmaz. These guys who can get hot and can get streaky, but you can't really trust them. Well, consistently throughout a season, especially in a postseason.
The Sixers don't beat the Celtics in Boston last week without Scott starting from 3-from-3 behind the arc.
Yeah.
You know, and how often is that going to happen?
Yeah.
So it's too often they win these kind of games because of an anomaly offensive output. It's like you need some consistency, and JJ Redick is the model of consistency in terms of sinking threes off the bench.
Yeah. Harrison, do you have another one?
Yeah, I do. I've got a little bit of a player swap. They're around on the same money. CJ McCollum to San Antonio for DeMar DeRozan.
Yep.
The Spurs get younger and McCollum's defensive woes are finally made up for because he's playing next to DeJounte Murray.
I like that.
Pop is now forced to embrace the three because he's got one of the better 3-point shooters in the game and against the smaller teams in the West. And there are, surprisingly, there's a lot of them, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Phoenix, Dallas, Denver, Portland. You can run Patty Mills, CJ McCollum, and DeJounte Murray guarding the three.
Yeah, okay.
That gives you so much space for, A, to try and squeeze the last bit of juice out of LaMarcus Aldridge, yeah. And B, it just gives you so much space on the floor.
I think, yeah, McCollum would be such a good player under Pop. I feel like he's, like, made for him.
Yeah.
Here's the question, why Phoenix? I mean, why would Portland do that?
Well, because Portland can then bring in an elite playmaker. I think DeMar DeRozan is a better playmaker than CJ McCollum is, which means he can play on the ball. Dame can step off the ball slightly. And it also gives you another veteran presence where if Melo is going to be your player that's going to help your playoff push, then I think DeMar DeRozan helps that both defensively and offensively. And secondly, he's off contract next year. So Portland, in dire need of cap flexibility, finally get some. They get rid of a $27 million contract, and they have DeMar DeRozan for this year, next year, so you can see him next to a fully healthy Nurkic, and then after that, they can make a decision.
And also, what do both teams have to lose, really?
Well, I guess that would, like, they don't have much, but I think my thinking with Portland has just been like, you're doing things that aren't going to result in the title. You're doing things that aren't going to result in the title just over and over and over again. And, like, them trading for DeMar DeRozan won't result in a title.
God, so
but the cap, the cap flexibility, though, is huge for them because they've tied down Dame, Nurkic and CJ McCollum for way too much money for the next, like, eternity.
That they would have to ask how that's going to affect them this season, because despite their slow start, it was a shocker. They're only one game away from 7th and 8th.
I would also...
So the playoffs aren't the opposite of out of reach this season. So I don't know if you want to tinker in a season where, you know, they went... It's the season directly after they made the conference finals.
Yeah, look, I get you. And, you know, you're 100% right. I just feel like this team, if they do want to make the playoffs, and if they... Yeah, okay, they make the playoffs, but if they want to do anything in the playoffs, they need to have some defenders.
Yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan, for all his... You know, he doesn't shoot threes and he can't win you in a playoff series. He's a better defender than CJ McCollum is. He's longer, he's bigger. He's just better defensively. And once Nurkic comes back, at least then you've got two good defenders on your lineup rather than just Nurkic.
Gady, do you have another?
Yeah, I do. And to be honest, I don't have much info behind me to know how we can make this work, but maybe you guys can help me out.
It's good you're here.
Yep. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Spencer Dinwiddie ends up on the Raptors and Kyle Lowry ends up on the Nets.
Wait, what?
But how?
But is this just because you want Spencer Dinwiddie to have his own team?
Yeah. And, like, I just think...
Who do you want on the Nets? Did you say Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry ends up on the Nets. Kyle Lowry's good. Like, he's...
Kyle Lowry with Kyrie Irving.
He will hit Kyrie
Irving.
No.
He plays... He needs to be on your... He needs to be a sixth man.
No, like, Ogden's right. They'll murder each other.
But I want Spencer to have his own team.
Yeah, a backcourt with a guy that cares too much, with a guy that doesn't care at all.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they have find, like, a little father-son sort of dynamic.
We're burying the lead. We're burying the lead. Spencer Dinwiddie's got his own team, Guardy. How do you feel?
He's on such a team-friendly contract as well. What, he's like 3 years, $34 million or something like that. Like, Raptors send a pick, send Kyle Lowry, which I'm pretty sure is an expiring contract, right? He's
I feel like he's just going to backfire on you, though. They're going to start, like, Van Vliet with Norman Powell and just have Dinwiddie off the bench.
Dinwiddie in Orlando could be great. Dinwiddie, Fultz as, like, the backcourt. Fultz is 7 foot long and a good defender. He can make up for the fact that Spencer Dinwiddie's not.
Fultz is 7 foot long.
Sorry. Wingspan, 7 foot. That's what I meant.
It's a funny description. I really just, this is just Guardy trying to find a team for Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, but okay. So Kyle Lowry is a free agent at the end of this season.
He'll also be 34 at the end of this season, playing 37 and a half minutes this year as well. Yeah. Those ties are going to be wearing thin.
Yeah. We don't want to, like, shit on the trade. But it's just, if you're the Nets, you're trading away this really, really good young asset who can start off.
Nah, you give him picks.
Just heaps of picks?
Heaps of picks.
Ah, that works then.
All the picks, heaps of picks.
Yeah.
Come on for the picks.
Okay, for a team that wants to win now.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
Spencer's putting up 21 points a game this year too, which is...
I know, he's a starting point guard in the NBA. That's the problem.
Well, it's better than a lot of starting points. It's better than Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's only averaging 18 points.
I just, yeah, I that's the other part of this is that I just don't want Kyle Lowry to be on the Raptors anymore because I mean, we've said this so many podcasts before, but I just think he gets away with being very average most of the time.
NBA champion.
I would just like Toronto to have a point guard that scores the basketball.
You called him a gopher.
He's got a gopher vibe. I don't know what it is.
So, yeah, I didn't know whether it was realistic. I don't want Lowry and the Raptors, and I want Dinwiddie there. So if you can make it happen at home, please do. yeah.
Look, someone who I want in another location too, and this was brought up by one of our regular listeners. His name is Damon Mariazzo. Big ups to him for always messaging us about things that we can do on the pod because we like your input. Again, if you like what you're hearing, go to your favorite podcast app, like, rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz, like Damon does.
Yeah.
My man.
Be more like Damon.
Yeah. So he doesn't...
WWDD. What would Damon do?
Yes.
Is that right? Did I do it?
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
We're giving him so much airtime.
Yeah.
He doesn't... I don't know if he doesn't necessarily want Robert Covington in Minnesota, but he wants to hear some trade ideas. A place I think he could fit... and I think he would do well, is Houston, just because I like the idea of them having a defensive-minded three-man. He's like a pure shooter, so he'd work well just stretching the floor and catching shooting with James Harden penetrating and stuff like that, and Russell Westbrook penetrating. When I look at it, though, I don't know if the Rockets have anything to trade of value or that can make things work. So, like, when I look at Rob Cove's contract, the only thing that I can think makes it work is PJ Tucker. If you're going to trade those two, otherwise you're just trading a whole bunch of pieces because a lot of their adjacent pieces, when you look at Ben McLemore, Daniel House, those guys, they're all on like $1.6 million deals.
Mm.
It's going to take a bunch of those to, and that'd be giving away a lot of talent. So that's somewhere I want him to be, even though I can't make it happen because I'm not Daryl Morey.
I would love to see Covington and change for D'Angelo Russell because I think Steph, Clay, Covington is just, Iguodala light.
Just a better spot-up shooter.
Yeah, and slightly worse defender.
But still a great defender.
But still an amazing defender.
Right.
So I think he would fit amazingly in Golden State and then Minnesota finally get a point guard.
So just D'Angelo Russell goes...
No, you'd have to throw either a Culver and a Koji or a pick. But yeah, D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, they're buddies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that would work really well, and I think that's as much as Minnesota is going to get for him. Like, that's more than Minnesota should get for him.
Yeah. He is a guy who could help a lot of teams.
Mm.
And it's weird that the place I think he should be is Philly.
But
they just like JJ Redick.
We really just want them to bring everyone back.
Yeah.
But also be able to keep Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And to keep everyone else.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I got one. Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
I just think he deserves to get rewarded for having a really good season and putting in when the chips are down. I mean, he's putting in – everyone talks about his contract and how big it is, but it's like how big it was, right? Isn't he a free agent next year? I think he's off contract.
I think so. He either would be or he's got one more year.
Yeah.
But either way, I think he's – and is it weird to say that I think he's earned it?
He's definitely underappreciated now. The contract was more egregious at the time.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like contracts are different and he's actually an effective player.
He was a legitimate, important piece for that championship winning team.
Well, he looks locked in when he plays now. Like, he looks like he's always present. He's always trying to do his job. And I don't think you could say that about every season he's had throughout his career. But, yeah, I think in terms of where he could land, I think Boston... Could use someone.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson.
Just any big who can defend?
Yeah, because the ones they've got don't. So,
and his cancer's so bad.
It'd just be a question. If you're going to get him to Celtics, you're going to have to lose something you love, like Smart or Brown, I think. But yeah, exactly. So it makes it hard, but what do you need more if you want to win the comp? I don't have the answers. They might be better off keeping those two. But that's where I'd like to see Tristan Thompson. He kind of fits – this version of Tristan Thompson fits the current Boston Celtics as well.
Yeah, I rate that. Someone I haven't really gone too much into where I think he can go, but I think Bogdan Bogdanovic, the Kings one, I think he should be somewhere else just because Buddy Hield got paid. Darren Fox is going to get paid. I don't know if they're going to be able to pay for like a third pretty decent guard. I feel like he's worth being somewhere else. I wonder where.
Anywhere.
Before we talk about,
he can fit anywhere.
Yeah.
Would out of those three guards, if you were the Kings GM and you have to, let's say they're all free agents at the end of this season, who would you keep or two? And which one would you let go out of those three?
I would keep the two that I think they're going to keep.
You think they've called it right?
In De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, I think so. But like you got to look at what the kind of World Cup that Bogdanović had. And I know we're not always going to dwell on the World Cup because Harrison doesn't like it. But he had like he shot like 60, 50, 90 at the World Cup for Serbia. Like he is really, really talented. So I just think anywhere else and we'd probably be talking about him a lot more.
He's 40% from three this year.
Yeah, that's a very solid number.
I think you're right, Harrison. That'll work on most teams.
Yeah. Like the Harrison Barnes contract, that just
hilarious.
That's going to cost Kings.
Why does a team always do that? Why does a team always give Harrison Barnes money?
He must just present and sit down with the general manager, and the general manager's just like, he's smart, he presents well, he's amazing. I just don't get it either.
He can shoot the three in not a big spot.
Hates to pass.
Brutal.
Can I defend the contract? Do you at least understand the perception of his ceiling?
Yeah, do you understand the cost at losing Bogdan, though?
No, I'm not defending it now, but at the time, when you sign this 6'8", you know, high school, like top three player out of high school, he's 6'8", really athletic, won a championship, has shown that he can't not shoot it.
What?
You know? Like, there's a ceiling there, and he's just like, he never, ever got close to reaching it.
My issue with Harrison Barnes is, yeah, I got that when the Warriors drafted him, and when you saw him play and when you saw him put down a highlight dunk every once in a while, you're like, holy hell, this guy's going to be good. But then we saw that as a catch and shoot player, he's not that reliable. Then he went to Dallas and we saw that he hates to pass and that he cannot run an offense to save himself. It's just every time we see him in a new situation expecting something different, we just get disappointed by another skill that he's lacking.
Yeah, and the Kings were better when they had Shumpert last year. Shumpert. And when Barnes replaced him, they were worse. Like, I know Barnes in a vacuum is a better player, but like he, you know, for whatever reason, that team was better with Shumpert in it in comparison to Barnes.
Yeah. Look, I think we agree that Harrison Barnes' contract is just terrible, like fundamentally terrible.
For everyone but Harrison Barnes.
Correct. Yes. However, I understand the thinking going into it because NBA teams love 6'8 wings.
He's the idea of a good basketball player.
He's such a good idea of one.
I'm not even ready to say that I just hate the contract. I don't hate the contract. I hate the contract for the Kings because it's going to cost them a really good player.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make sense to give him that much money. Yeah, he's good and he could have got paid anywhere, but why did they pay him when it's going to cost them Bogdan?
You know
what? That's my issue.
A team out there is going to get Bogey and they're going to be really happy with it.
Stoked.
I know. Does anyone else have any more players or are we going straight into my quick fire question?
I have one more player.
Okay.
And
you're so happy about it.
This is right close to my heart.
Your heart.
I think you're going to guess it before I say it. 6'8". He's 22 and he's averaging 22.4 points, 4.2 assists, 8.6 rebounds, 1.7 steals, 1.3 blocks, shooting 48% from the field, 40% from three, attempting 7 threes per game.
Is this Jaren Jackson?
In the G League.
Oh, Josh Jackson?
Josh Jackson. Yeah. The Memphis, I want the Memphis Grizzlies to promote him from the Memphis Hustle, and he's going to be that wing, that combo 2-3 that is going to grow with Ja Morant, Brendan Clark, Jaren Jackson.
And turns the Grizzlies from like a 12th good. Seed to like a 10th seed. Yay!
But like fighting for the ninth.
I think, yeah, Josh Jackson has been like, he's in there. He's there because of discipline. He's not there because of...
Yeah, I know. You're saying new places. I want him in the NBA and I want him on the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't want him in the G League anymore. He's so good in the G League.
Yeah.
Is he so good?
He's so good in the G League.
Okay.
He's been disappointing in the NBA though, right? Since he's come in. Yes. People wanted him to do more. He was a relatively high pick.
He was like, out of high school, he was like a top three player in the country.
Yeah.
And he was
one of those
fourth.
Freakish athletes.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth. But he went to Phoenix and they just kept on picking the same player. They picked him. They picked Bridges. Now they've picked Cam Johnston for Phoenix Suck. I'm not getting into that. But like he has all the tools to be really good. You talk about Harrison Barnes being the idea of a good basketball player. Josh Jackson is the same thing.
Did you say he's shooting well this year in the G League? Because that's been his problem, right?
Josh Jackson. Yeah, he's shooting really well. Okay. Really well. 48% from the field, 40 from three.
If that can carry over, for sure, he'd actually be an exciting player to watch if he could get it all together.
Is it time for my question and answers?
Sure.
Quick fire question and answers. Get excited, everybody. Where would you rather the next NBA franchise be? Seattle or Las Vegas? Harrison?
Seattle.
Ted?
Las Vegas.
Seattle.
Ooh, it was split. Will RJ Barrett be better than Andrew Wiggins? Harrison?
That's a
yes or no question.
Yes.
Andrew Wiggins isn't bad.
Yeah, no. So Wiggins this year, let's say he plays the same as this year.
I think RJ Barrett's already a better playmaker. So
playmaker, yeah. RJ Barrett, a bit tubby, a bit slow.
What?
He's not as fast as I want him to be.
It's not wrong.
He's not explosive.
He's so young.
Can he jump through the roof?
He doesn't Wiggins turn can the
jump
corner.
Through the roof, mate.
I get it. He doesn't turn the corner off those like pick and rolls that you to the extent that you want him to. Ted, you're a no?
Yeah, I'm a no. I'm Team Wiggins now. I drafted him the other week. So.
You're a yes, Gardy?
I'm a yes.
Okay. Is LeBron James the best player in the world? Harrison?
Currently? No.
Ted?
Nah, he's a second.
Nah.
Is it Giannis?
Yeah, it's Giannis. Yeah.
Where is LeBron?
Second for me.
Better than Kawhi?
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you're talking about finishing in the top seed and winning an NBA title, because Kawhi's only going to help with one of those things. Playoffs, mate. he's missed so many games this year.
Yeah.
Already.
We kind of went through this already. Are the Miami Heat a contender?
No.
No. No.
Ooh.
Just a good story.
Not yet.
Yeah. You have to get rid of one of these things. Rice or bread?
Bread. Later, said the Asian.
Teddy's Asian.
Rice.
Oh, you bastard. What?
Gutty.
Rice, just because burgers.
Because burgers.
What would I...
And sandwiches.
Yeah, like you can have other things which are almost rice.
I can have...
But what about if you want to eat 10,000 of the same thing? Rice is the only thing you can have.
That actually, I really struggle with that because sushi and burgers are my two favorite foods. Far so I had to make out. A call.
It's tough.
No sushi.
Yeah.
Sashimi, baby.
Yep. But not on top of rice.
Potatoes, okay. Rice, that would have been a good chat. That I would have been torn.
Potatoes or rice?
Yeah.
Never get into potatoes.
Love a spud.
Potatoes are weird.
Said no one.
But then also chips.
It's like weird. It's the most normal, but the vegetable.
Because I'm thinking like a baked potato is just like me.
It's a potato in the oven. Oh, that's strange.
It's just bland. Even if you put salt.
Butter it up.
Like, okay.
Compared to rice?
Easy. There's the HP. You soy sauce that shit, bro.
What would you rather? A team whose brass is Masai Ujiri and James Dolan, or one where its brass is Mark Cuban and John Paxson? So I'm giving you a shit owner with a really good GM.
Cuban.
And also a good owner with a really shit GM. Harrison? Yeah.
You got to say good owner. GMs are replaceable.
Cuban will fly around.
So you're going with Cuban and Paxson over Dolan and Ujiri?
Yeah, because Paxson will do one thing wrong and Cuban will get a new one.
Okay, but no. You can't have to get live a new with, James you Dolan. You got to live with this for a decade.
Assume he wins. He can't go under 500 every year and keep a job for 10 years.
But their mates is part of my question.
All right, you keep moving the goalpost here.
Who are you going with, Ted?
Yeah, it's got to be the owner.
You want Mark Cuban?
Yeah, because if shit goes down, like he's going to let you use his jet. You know.
James Dolan totally wouldn't let you use his jet.
Nah. He wouldn't even ask.
Nah. Gutty?
Give me Dolan and Ujiri.
That's
a
possibility.
Gutty's all about those chips, baby.
Yeah.
I reckon Dolan would try something and Ujiri would like backhand him or something.
Be like, slap.
I'm in control.
So this is my team.
On Ujiri, by the way, something that I saw Norman Powell had a really good game today, so I was thinking, like, how did he get to Toronto? Masai Ujiri really traded Grievous Vasquez for a 2015 second rounder, which ended up being Norman Powell, and a 2017 first rounder, which ended up being OG Anunoby. So he really traded Grievous Vasquez for Norman Powell and OG Anunoby.
Are you saying Grievous?
Grievous.
Someone...
Remember Grievous Vasquez?
That's a name.
He was that big point guard who was great at nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good trade then.
Next question. Is Anthony Davis the defensive player of the year right now? Harrison?
No.
Who is?
I mean, I would give it to Giannis at the moment.
Yeah. Ted?
Only because I can't think of anyone else. Yeah. I've seen him do some blocks.
Cuddy?
I don't know if I'd give it to him on a performance basis, but since it's a narrative-driven award, yes.
Do you think he...
Like, as in, are you asking, do I think he'll win the award?
On merit, do you think he deserves the Defensive Player of the Year award right now?
No.
Okay. Non-basketball question. Would you rather speak every language in the world or be able to speak with every animal? Harrison?
I'm going to say every animal.
Oh, my God.
I know English. That's...
Oh, I can, said the Caucasian.
I speak that in a lot of places. Yes.
Speak some Tagalog to me, Ted.
Jeez. Tagalog, Tagalog.
Same shit.
Dalhin mo okusa.
What does that mean?
It means cook me some lunch.
what would you rather?
Every language. Just because you can talk to animals doesn't mean they're going to listen to you, right?
That's so deep.
Or you'd be like, oi, monkey, go get me a beer. You'd be like, no. So what point is it? What's the point?
But then you say that to like a French
person. Yeah, is that how you talk to people?
A waiter. Yeah. I can still get a, I can get a drink in every country. Or a feed.
Gutty?
I think the answer has to be to animals because you can learn a language. You can't learn how to speak to animals. Then the other problem with the speaking every language thing is you need the money to make that relevant. Like, sure, I could learn, like, I don't know.
Any language, bro. What are you saying?
I could learn. Like,
say Swedish.
I could learn Swedish, but, like, if I can't get to Sweden, then that, like, doesn't help me. So
I will say, though, if you can speak every language, you're definitely, like, super highly paid in the CIA.
Yeah, you're a handy spy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but if you can speak to animals, then you're the only guy in the world that can speak to animals.
Which means everyone thinks you're crazy.
They'd know.
No, there'd be a way to prove
it. Because what? The monkey can get you a beer? Guess what?
You'd be like, hey, doggo, walk over there and then like do a turn and then walk back. And then
I'm telling you.
Have you not seen the dude who does halftime shows whose dog does shit with him?
Oh, there's a guy literally called the Dog Whisperer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can talk down. Dogs.
Is Bradley Beal the most underrated player in the NBA?
Not by me.
Harrison?
No.
As in just by the general like collective?
No, I think people underrate Jimmy Butler more than they underrate Bradley Beal.
It's not bad.
Yeah, okay.
I like that.
You're a no, Ted?
No, I think there's a lot of people that have been on Bradley Beal this time last season. People were noticing that he's one of the best offensive talents on the planet.
Yeah. Cuddy?
No.
Okay. Last question. What are you most looking forward to over the holidays? Nope. If you like what you heard, does anyone want to answer it?
No one needs to know how cynical I am.
I'm really looking forward to the reviews that are going to be left on this podcast.
Nice.
All of the good ones. You know where you can get your family?
No, the reviews, your review, you can write whatever you want. Rubbish is just leave that 5 stars.
You know what would be a good... Christmas present for those listening at home, if you want to get your loved ones something nice.
I'm listening.
Give them a recommendation, a podcast recommendation.
Yes. That'd be hilarious.
Hey, that...
Hey, guess what I got you, Dad? A printed-off sheet on how to download a podcast.
Lordy.
Gutty, where can they find the podcast?
God.
And what should they do?
In their dreams. They can find it on all good podcast platforms. But I think if you're going to find us on like the iTunes, the Apple one, just the podcast app. I think that's where you kind of want to be, right?
Get an iPhone.
Hopefully no one from Wooshka's listening to this. But yeah.
We love our Wooshka overlords.
Like Brian Wooshka is just listening in. Just like shit.
Find us on iTunes. And if you are a loyal listener, and we know you're out there.
Damon.
And you haven't given us a review before, do it, all right? Come on. Let me have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Does anyone else know any loyal listeners?
No, just Damon.
I got James Douglas, shout out. He always listens.
Yeah.
Let me know straight away when I didn't like the soundtrack that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, bro, shit.
I'll say it. Thanks, Wilson, mate. Smith.
Yeah, Wilson regularly shouts us out.
He's in our fantasy tournament.
All right, what are we doing?
No relation.
Right,
what are we doing?
Yeah. Mary, are we doing another podcast for Christmas? I thought we were doing a Christmas wrap.
I'm gone for Christmas.
There you go. See? We're Merry Christmas.
Hey,
Merry
we've Christmas. Got the host.
Hey, wow. Guys, I know you guys are tuning in for
the salt and the segues.
Salt and the segues.
So hurtful.
And on that note, oh wait, sorry, no, you're still.
Great. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
Mate. See you.
See you guys. See you guys.